Okay. And well, we were at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, and Baba was running 4 days ahead of schedule. He had cut previous schedules short. It was very difficult to get hotel accommodations in San Francisco because there was a Republican convention going on. Also, we had the whole program set up, you know, a lot of interviews and appointments and so forth. And I had been wondering how we were going to handle this, and Baba called me to his room. And he asked me, what's the program for San Francisco? So I outlined what we had worked out. And Baba said, well, that will have to be changed now, won't it? And I said, yes. So he started to outline how it should be changed. And I was very pleased that Baba was doing this because he was right then outlining the program that I had in mind as to how we should change the program. So after he finished, Baba asked me what I'm going to do, and I said, I'm going down the hall to Mershida's room and use her phone to phone San Francisco and have them change the program, as you've just told me. So Baba said, that's fine. And so I went down and asked Mershida if I could use her phone, and she said yes. What do you want to use it for? And I told her to make the changes in the San Francisco program. She says, what changes do you want to make? And I outlined them to her, and she says, Baba would never tell you to do it that way. You should do it this way. And she outlined a different plan. Well, I said, I just came from Baba's room, and he told me to do it the other way, and so I just have to do it the way that Baba told me to. And she says, Baba would never tell you to do it that way. You really ought to do it my way. So I said, well, gosh, I just can't do anything but what Baba just told me. So she said, well, go ahead. So I went and spent about 20 minutes on the phone outlining the changes. As soon as I hung up, there was a knock on the door, and it was Mergy, and Baba was summoning Mershida and me down to his room. So Baba asked me, did you phone San Francisco? Led? And I said, yes. What did you tell him? And I outlined the changes that I had told him to make. Baba said, that's not what I told you. I told you to do it this way. And he outlined Mershida's plan. But as he was outlining the plan, I could see what had happened. I had been so pleased with my plan that I was fitting Erich's words into my plan. I was only listening to what Baba was saying with half an ear and rejecting everything that didn't fit my idea, and I could see from the words that Erich was using how I could have done that. And so I had to get back on the phone, of course, and straighten the whole thing out. But what Baba really showed me is that, as far as I'm concerned, if there's ever a conflict between what Baba tells me and what Mershida tells me, it's my not having listened, my having gotten in the way. As far as I'm concerned, there's no difference between what Mershida tells me and what Baba tells me. And this is how Baba answered that particular question for me. Now comes another matter, and this one involves B. I'd never given up the idea that I wanted to go back to India with Baba and ask him, could I have another interview with him? And Baba in New York said he'd see me later. And so we went from New York to Myrtle Beach to Washington to Los Angeles. Baba never brought up the subject again. I got sick in San Francisco and finally got over this. And then the last day Baba was there, I was standing at the hotel there in San Francisco, Holiday Lodge, and B comes up to me and she says, I've been talking to Baba about the way you've been mismanaging our funds, and Baba's going to straighten you out on this. And right behind her was Nariman, who said, Baba, we'll see you now. Now, those two events were not connected, but Baba intended that I should connect them, which I did. And so Baba said, what do you want to see me about? Well, what I really wanted to see him about was about coming to India with him, but I thought, let's get this money matter out of the way first. So I said, well, Baba, this is a matter of money. And Baba looks at me and says, today you shouldn't have talked about money, but since you've brought up the subject, let's talk about money. And I thought, oh gosh, I blew it again. So I said, Baba, I really didn't want to talk about money. What I really wanted to talk about, Baba says, never mind, you brought up the subject of money, that can't be changed. And gee, then I just felt this terrible remorse. And Baba said, talk about money and be happy about it. Well, you know, when Baba says that, that's an order. And so you just wipe everything else out of your mind and you just talk about it. So I said, well, Baba, our house is getting too small for us, but if we get a bigger house, then I can't afford to send the children to college. What should I do? So Baba turns to B and he says, do you want a bigger house? Do you want a new house? And she says, yes. So Baba says, get her a new house. Well, I thought that, okay, that's easy. I said, well, then we can't send all the children to college. Baba says, oh, you must give your children the best education obtainable. Gee, this was beginning not to add up. So I thought, you know, he doesn't understand the problem. And I thought, but then I thought, no, I rejected that one because I've been through that one before. And so Mergy was standing beside me, and I think he realized something was going to go on here that he'd been through before too, so he started to prop me up a little bit. And so I said, well, you know, Baba, I've been contributing the rent to the Sufi Center, and I don't know where the Sufis are going to meet if I start putting money aside for this. Baba says, oh, you mustn't diminish your contribution to the Sufis. And, you know, I looked at Mergy, and then Baba turns to B, and he says, and is there anything else? She says, yes, she says, Lud doesn't buy me any insurance, and I don't feel very secure. So Baba says, buy her all the insurance she wants. then he said to B, are you happy? And she says, yes. And Baba says, I almost never say anything, this to anyone, but I say it to you now, as long as in this lifetime you'll never have to worry about money. And then he asked her, are you happy? And she said, yes. And so then he said, you see, I've solved all your money problems. This meeting's at an end. And I thought, this is a solution. But as a matter of fact, it turned out to be a solution. Because I had been characterized previously as a walking actuarial system. I never did anything financially that didn't have a prudent basis or something like this, and I was a real slave to this. And you see, Baba, by telling me that B would never have to worry about money in this lifetime, removed from me the worry that I'd always had that I wouldn't be able to support her. All I had to do was really to do the straightforward thing. I mean, I had to take care of the various things and just leave the rest to God, and always realize that the money that had to be there would be there. And so I built the house that I built, and a year later, and then Baba wound up staying in that house in 1958 on his way to Australia from here. And there's just two things that I wanted to tell you about that. One is, as I was leaving for the West Coast with Baba, he needed a place to stay overnight, and it so happened that I'd built just the right house that he needed to stay there. You see, just as I was leaving, I noticed that there was an altercation between my daughter, 3B, wasn't obeying her mother. And I saw that that this was due to the fact that my sister and my daughter were, my sister Eleanor and my daughter Threeby were great pals, and Eleanor was kind of goading her on to disobey her mother, you see, and I found out about this. So I called Eleanor to me, and I really told her that if she couldn't stop messing up the daughter-mother relationship, she just better stay away from my daughter, you know, and just demolished Eleanor and reduced her to tears, you see. And then, having done my painful duty, I left for Baba's house, and it was a lovely morning, and the birds were singing, and I was going to be riding to San Francisco on a plane with Baba and so forth, I come to Baba's house, and he's standing out in front, and he's smiling, greeting me, and he's, "Are you happy, Lud?" And, "Yes, I'm happy, Baba." "And is your family happy?" "Well, as a matter of fact, Baba, I left them in tears." Baba professes surprise at this, you see, so I explained the situation to him, and then Baba told me to have them all come to see him at the airport, and then Baba had the three of them come to him at the airport and embrace each other, and they didn't add up the fact that these things were connected at all. But then, as they, Eleanor, I heard her say as she left there, I said, "That was very nice, but what was it all about?" You know. And then Erich, then reading Baba's gestures to me, Baba said, "You were right in what you did, but next time, wait till I'm gone before you do something like that again," which simply meant, why did you use a sledgehammer when a feather duster would have done? It's enough that you simply call a transgression to the attention of someone, but don't have to bawl anyone out about it, you see. And this was a great failing of mine, and still is, but not as much as it once was. I still recognize it as something I have to work on. The continuing lessons as you go on in this kind of thing, the lessons, as you learn them, they take a different form. And like the business of not worrying, as I started to run out of money from having sent all my youngsters to the best schools available and building the house and all this kind of thing, my bank account started to go down, but then I got an offer to be transferred to the Middle East at a 50% increase in salary, which solved all those problems. And then I cabled Baba asking him if I could take the job, and he said, "Take it if it's a good deal." Then also said that if you go to the Middle East, then you can stop by to see me for a day if it's convenient. And then what happened was that this transfer application wound up in limbo in the Middle East someplace, and I had to live for two and a half months not knowing whether I was leaving, not knowing whether the children would have to change schools. The whole thing was completely up in the air, and the papers just wended their inexorable but snail pace way through Middle East red tape. But I finally did wind up going when I really realized the whole thing was in Baba's hands and I had to leave it there. Very similar things were to happen later on when I got a succession of absolutely impossible bosses, until I finally got to the point where I recognized that getting personally involved in these things didn't do any good. I actually got so I felt so sorry for the guy that was putting me through a lot of trouble that I saved him from doing something very damaging to himself. And you see, once you actually you recognize a problem and outgrow it, 5 days later that boss was transferred to out of harm's way, and I've since been working for the nicest bosses I have ever had. And when you're really through with the problem, it falls away from you. As long as you still have something to learn from the situation, you're kept in it. And so I still remember at the East-West gathering when I went there, I was sitting in the audience, and if you see that phonograph record of the East-West gathering, with Baba looking out on that whole audience there, I'm in the second row there, and I was just sitting there thinking as all these darshaners were filing by Baba and taking Baba's darshan, I was just thinking how much I would rather be in the Middle East than going back and continuing engineering in the West. And as I was sitting there thinking this, Merji taps me on the shoulder and he says, Baba wants to see me. So I go up to the stage and Baba is there and giving his darshan to all the people who are bowing down, touching his feet. And Baba turns around to me and Erich, reading his gesture, said, how would you like to be doing this? And, you know, I didn't right away connect that with the passing thought that had gone through my mind until some time later. And I recognized that what Baba was telling me is if I, God, can sit here and do something that's as senseless as this, or as beyond, below my capabilities or unimportant or anything you want to call it. If I can do this just because it's appropriate that I do it, you can go back to the West and do your engineering. And that was the last meeting at which I ever saw Baba in the body. Here we have a few moments of silence.